The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you back. It is great to have all of you here the final 2 hours. And when we went to the break, we put up on our screen, for those of you who are not watching, that we were going to talk to Holly Rowe next, coming live from San Antonio. The problem is, when we went to Holly, there was so much noise in the arena that she was not going to be able to be heard. So we apologize for missing out on her. We will talk about the South Carolina game at the bottom of the hour with a former Gamecock under Dawn Staley. Let's get right back to the calls. And James is calling next here. Hello, James.
How you doing?
I'm well.
All right, listen. First off, I'm pushing back on. I understand how you. I'm here in Birmingham. Been here for many years. From North Carolina, ex-soldier and a black man. So I'm going to cover a lot of these different areas of callers who said they wanted to come on. As a black man, yeah, I got no problem with providing my ID. But these laws are bigger than that. As a caller said before me, this is you know you go to black neighborhoods, you make a stand in line for hours, but then you can't feed us. You're in Houston, where my dad is, where you have a 4 million people that have to go to one drive-in spot, one drop-off box. That's all racially motivated in black areas to do whatever. So the laws in Georgia are pre-Jim Crow. Here in Alabama, where you had all the vote, John Lewis, you gut his Voting Rights Act. But we have no problem with that. George Floyd, you put his neck, you put your what black players. Nick Saban, I wasn't a Nick Saban fan until he stood up with his black players. I served most of my adult life as an officer in the United States Army, given the privilege to lead soldiers, black, white, and different, into combat 3 different times. But did I serve with a lot of racists? Of course I did. A bunch of racists served in the military. But to support the Republicans and these conservatives who decided they can't now, Georgia scared them because now blacks are coming out to vote. They figure they can't win unless they cheat, unless they do things to dissuade voters. That's against the Constitution. Also unconstitutional, which is why they're challenged in court. And so it comes in, Trump can bull jive that the votes pulled out from under the table. All that stuff was debunked, and it was Trump judges, his appointed judges, that threw these cases out and said that it was bull jive. So this is all a bunch of racist bull jive, and we don't want to call it that. I would never kneel as a soldier. I'd be a soldier to the day I die. But those who want to, that's the reason I went to combat. And they're not, over and over again, these guys told you, they got uncles, they got brothers, they got people that served in the military, nothing to do with the flag, nothing to do with dishonoring this country. They're tired of committing racism. A 12-year-old black boy shot down for playing with a gun in our face, a toy gun in the park. You would never do that to a white kid, and nothing happened. People were tired of this stuff, man. Michael Jordan, those people didn't have, Michael Jordan, I knew Michael Jordan in college. So I'm from North Carolina. But at the end of the day, he didn't have the guts. He was more worried about his bottom line to do than what LeBron James does right now and speak out and use his platform. Jordan wasn't willing to do that. He wasn't willing to lose money. He wasn't willing to have his brand to do what Muhammad Ali did. We celebrate Ali right now, but Ali was hated when he was standing up for injustice back in the day. But now we act like it was all good. It was not. It was tough to do what Brother Carlos and them did on that platform when they put up the power fist and what they suffered. To come back. We celebrate them now, some of us, but we didn't then. But those brothers were willing to stand up and sacrifice for what was right, for the way blacks were being treated back in their home country. So I'll give you another example. The SEC refused to take the SEC baseball tournament from here and the Huber Met, was a couple of minutes from where I stay, to Mississippi because Mississippi had that racist emblem on their flag, right? So they refused to take it down there. And like I said on that call-in show then, stationed in Huntsville, they had a black Holocaust replica to come through. Basically, it was a bunch of black folks being hung, mainly 90% in Alabama, Mississippi. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of photos. And I'll give you a case of two. One was a black mother and her son hanging from a bridge here in Alabama, with a whole bunch of white folks, old, young, all posing on the bridge while they hung from the bridge. the caption said that they were killed actually the day before, the night, the evening before, but it got too dark to take the photo, so everybody went home and came back and reconvened to take a picture with this mother and her son hanging from a bridge. That's murder, right? So the people that hung were murderers, the uncles and the little kids is in those photos, a lot of them are still, late 1950s, early 1960s. A lot of these people are still alive. It wasn't done in the turn of the century. Still walking around free after committing murder. I'll give you a case of another one. A 9-year-old black boy hanging from a tree here in Alabama. Two white men with guns posing behind him with a picture. Two little white boys with sticks, jabbing the little black boy with the sticks, dead from the tree. All right? That's murder. Those murderers are never punished, still walking around today, but we have no problem with that. We have no problem with black folks being murdered, no outrage. Behold, take a game, and we are outraged with our sports. I love sports just as much as anybody else. But at the end of the day, we have to do something to draw attention to murder, injustice, and nobody's willing to do anything. So that's what athletes are doing. That's what they're stepping out. They don't want to do this. They don't want to do it, but they use their platform, and they don't want to be murdered as well. Now, me being a veteran, having served 3 times as an officer, again, in the United States Army, gets afraid anytime. I never stole anything, I never anything. I don't have any kind of legal record. I'm 54 years old next month. Never got any kind of, but if the police got behind me right now, I fear for my life. Why should that be the case? There's no white man that does that, the fear for his life just because he see blue lights, because he changed lanes illegally. So my point is, I understand how you do your show. I've been listening for you years. I got it, whatever. But let people come on here and lie that all these voter irregulations took place. It's lies. It's not true.
James, thank you. Thank you for the call. Have a great holiday, and thank you for your exemplary service to this country. Let's continue with more calls. And where am I here? How about Steve in the state of Georgia? Hello, Steve.
Hey, thank you, Paul. You do a fantastic job day in and day out of covering sports up in the Southeast. And
thank you.
Certainly appreciate what you do. I just wanted to try to get back on course of what we're talking about. I really called to rebuttal the Mike from Georgia that had called earlier. I think he was given a bunch of misinformation. And I think the bottom line on this voting thing is that everybody needs to read up on it and see what it says. Nobody is going to, in the state of Georgia, anywhere, is going to keep someone, a citizen that's going to vote, from getting a drink of water. Where that came from, I have no idea. It's a part of Georgia being blackmailed. Nobody in any area is going to keep someone from eating a fast food hamburger while they're standing in line to vote. In Georgia, in my community, we're able to vote almost about 20 days before the actual election. And they're also open on a Saturday. You can vote on a Saturday. So I don't understand. I've been able to vote here my whole life, and I've never had any problem. I think this is just another example that the state of Georgia, we're getting blackmailed, and all of us as citizens, we need to keep in mind about Delta Airlines. There's other choices. Let's don't support them. Home Depot, let's don't support them. Let's go across the street to Lowe's. And Coca-Cola, there's plenty of other choices on Coca-Cola. It's a shame and embarrassment for these companies not to come in and support the state of Georgia. And what's sad is the little people that are going to work at the stadium for an all-star game, they don't have a job to go to. Forget about the people that help park people in the cars in the parking lot, people that help with the hot dogs, people that sell the soft drinks, the popcorn, et cetera, et cetera. The little people always get hurt. I just hate to see that we continue to get bullied by blackmailed, actually. And it's the same thing in the NFL. I've been an NFL fan for 50 years. I no longer care about the NFL. The team I support has been sending me emails and text messages wanting me to buy tickets. I have no interest in going to watch a football game if they're going to disgrace our American flag. I'm sorry. I feel very strongly about that. I think that's the wrong way to go about it, and it's confusing about what that even understands when you're going to take a knee and not support the American flag. Support the American flag. Again, thank you for what you're doing. What a mess. I think that the mayor of Atlanta, the governor, all the senators, congressmen, all need to get together, and they need to work on this baseball thing, because I can stop watching baseball, too. There's plenty of other choices. But it's a shame that it seems like everybody has to get blackmailed to get their way. Hey, thank you, Paul, for letting me vent. I appreciate it, and we love your show. Take care.
Thank you, Sean. Steve, I'm sorry. Thank you, Steve, very much. We will take a break. Bottom of the hour, we'll preview tonight's, can't remember what game it is, South Carolina and Stanford Final Four game in San Antonio. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hey, welcome back. Gator is up next in Florida. Good afternoon, Gator.
Afternoon, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. My quick question, it has to do with what that guy Rick is saying about Nick Saban. If it is true that he sold his soul to the devil and everything, does that mean when Judgment Day comes, my Gators are finally going to win another national championship, especially if he can take Dabo Swinney with him?
Book it. Thank you. JT is in Nashville. Hello, JT.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. I know it's been a busy day of controversy, man, but I've got to tell you, I'm just disappointed. One, disappointed in you. Just the show. I mean, there's been one reactionary nut that's called right after spreading conspiracy theories, disinformation, zero pushback from you. You're supposed to know better. Media's dishonest, cancel culture. And really? I mean, don't you have any way to lead through this and present some kind of fact? I mean, you are the host of the show.
Well, that is true, and you know, it's a story that broke as we were coming on the air, and I simply reacted to it by going to calls.
Oh, you have a take. You're a sophisticated man. You've been in this game for a long time. You had a guy calling up just say, "Oh God, Hank Aaron. Let's talk about Hank Aaron, victim of vehement, insane racism. Everybody knows that, except the guy that's bummed out he won't get his due at the All-Star game. Really? How about Jackie Robinson? Keep politics out of baseball. Really? Tell some of these callers to wake up, right? They're worried about the black man, the small man who's going to be, I don't know, bummed out. His business is going to be hurt. Guess what? You're going to be hurt by not being able to vote. That's real. That's my opinion.
Well, I certainly appreciate you calling, JT. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Lynn is up next in South Carolina. Hey, Lynn.
It's your social worker. Oh, my God.
Save me.
I wish I could.
Oh, and by the way, what an appropriate comment on Good Friday.
Yeah, really. Okay. First of all, people that want politics out of sports, it dates back to the gladiators in the Roman Colosseum. Right? Okay.
I mean, you're talking about Russell Crowe, right, in Gladiator?
Yeah, no, the gladiators.
Oh, the gladiators, okay.
The gladiators in the Roman Colosseum. That was about politics. That was their sports. I'm talking about the Roman Empire.
Yeah, I vaguely remember reading about it. It followed the Greek Empire.
Yes, all right. Then people are talking about religion. Okay, let's put God in it. I don't care. I mean, I do care. But if you're Buddhist, if you're Jewish, if you're Islamic, if you're Christian, God is a God of love and forgiveness. And my last comment, think about this. War said it best in their song in 1975. Why can't we be friends?
Well, that was a good one. I remember it. Why can't we be friends?
Why can't we be friends? We're different, and that's wonderful. We can have our opinions. And yes, you're the host of the show, but you do your job well because you don't interject. You allow people to express what they want to express. That's what a host does.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are things I do have very strong opinions about, and then there are some things which I think it's better for me just to host the show as opposed to try to run into rush hour traffic on a Friday afternoon on the LA freeway. So I will tell you this. I mean, it's not something that I've really studied. I mean, I saw the story the other day. I heard President Biden say Wednesday night that the baseball should move out, but it still wasn't a subject that I really did not think they would, so maybe I should have been better prepared today. Hey, thanks for the call. Logan is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Logan.
Hey, Paul. Happy Friday. How are you?
Logan, doing great. You ever had one of those Friday afternoons when every 5 minutes you look at the clock to see if it's moved?
Yeah, and I mean, unfortunately, Paul, you know me. You knew I was going to call in about this subject, too. I know it's probably not what you want to talk about today, but I have a little personal connection to this. My sister lives in Atlanta, and my pops is 75 years old. She got season tickets this year for the Braves just so she could get the All-Star game. That was on his bucket list. So today was really disappointing for them. I felt terrible when I saw it come down, but I knew it was going to happen. I don't know when you moved to North Carolina, but do you remember the bathroom bill?
Oh yeah, it happened right after I got here.
Okay, so you remember that. So, I mean, they moved the NBA All-Star game. I'm a huge music fan, so I remember Pearl Jam had a concert, Bruce Springsteen had a concert here, they canceled, and ultimately it worked. I mean, you know this. They repealed it. We voted the governor out that passed that. So as much as I feel sad for it, I have to go on the side of, ultimately I did support it, even though I lost the concert. There's more important things, you know. People's rights are a lot more important than that. So I just have to come down on that side, Paul. I don't know how you feel about it, but when I read what they had passed, some of the things in that bill are just blatant. So, I try to explain to my sister. I mean, she's still pretty good.
You know, Logan, the one thing about it I will say, and I'm well aware of the politics of the state of Georgia. Anyone who has a television could not have missed that, starting with Election Day until early January. The thing that I will offer, though, and much like it happened in Charlotte, where the city council had passed a bill, but the state legislature had gone the other direction over overturning it. Charlotte lost. In this case, I don't need to tell you about the city of Atlanta. It's an extraordinarily progressive city. And I think it showed the world in 1996 how far it had come when it hosted the Olympics. But the city of Atlanta is paying the bill, though, for the state legislature.
Exactly. I mean, even Stacey Abrams, I think, had an article this morning saying, let's not be so quick to jump on that. I mean, Paul, you know, I'm from Asheville. During that whole bathroom bill thing, we were actually allowed to have the SoCon tournament here in Asheville because the city council made it so clear that we were opposed to that, you know. So, you know, there's that point, too, where I can see where you're punishing people that normally wouldn't, you know. It's like you kind of say, well, that's not the way we think, but I understand the economic pressure they have to put on people, you know, and unfortunately it does. It's going to hurt a lot of people.
But it's not. Call, but ultimately, Logan, keep your eye on the domino effect of this, and it's important. And I bring it up because the SEC has its game there every single year, and right. I realize that game is about 5 months removed from when the All-Star game is, but it's not an issue that will go away.
No, it won't. And I just wonder how quick these politicians, I mean, they seem to pass it pretty quickly. So I wonder how quickly they might repeal this when, the economics hit and they realize they're losing, you know, millions or billions of dollars from these events.
No, you're right. And, you know, that's part of politics that, you know, you hear it every 2 years. Elections have consequences, and I was not watching when the Georgia legislature did this. I know the governor moderately well. He's been here a couple of times. You may remember him, and
right.
He's in the middle of it. The whole state's in the middle of it. Now the whole country is in the middle of it. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's talk to Tony next in Alabama. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
How are you doing, sir?
I am doing really well. Thank you.
Well, you're holding up well under pressure today.
Thank you.
I heard your comment earlier about y'all were in the back room talking about how you could make this day a real good day since it is Good Friday. But anyway, I am from Lincoln, Alabama, and you had a caller the other day. You were asking about, is a Honda plant in Lincoln?
Yes.
Of course, there is one. It's a real large employer in Lincoln, Alabama, and they've got a lot of people that support them that's not Honda, but they make seats and windshields and other things. So a great, great employer in the state of Alabama. But what I wanted to say is... you know, about 34 years ago, I made a decision that I was going to be a surrendered son of God. I was going to surrender my life to Jesus. Of course, in Alabama, you hear a lot about those things, and that was the thing for me to do. I knew it was. But anyway, it was shortly after that, Oxford High School played Smith Station, I think it was 1988, in a state championship football game. Coach Bill Burgess was the coach.
Oh, sure.
No, Robert Herring was the coach. But anyway, as Oxford scored a touchdown, confetti flew, and you know, normally if confetti gets on, you just knock it off. But there was a piece that fell on my knee, and for whatever reason, I picked it up and I looked at it, and on the back of it, it said, Jesus said, ask whatever you will, and it'll be given to you by my Father in heaven. I've still got that piece of confetti in my Bible, and that's just a story about something good that God gave me a long time ago, and Good Friday is a wonderful day to celebrate the gift that we have if we can receive it. But anyway, Paul, I just want to say...
Well, Tony, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. That is a great story on Good Friday. You be well, and you have a blessed Easter on Sunday, and we are heading to a break right now. We have a guest waiting to talk about a game that's just about to start. Ty Harris played for the Gamecocks just a year or two ago, and she will be with us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of
ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPNPods. That's Amazon.com/ESPNPods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. Kai Harris joins us now. She's with the Dallas Wings of the WNBA. Last year, she was the top player on the Gamecocks as they were number one in the country and favored to win the tournament. And then we all know what happened. But she does understand what it's like to win. She was there in 2017 as well. Ty, thank you very much. Great to see you doing well. And I would imagine you, like many Gamecock fans, are just a little bit nervous right now as we get ready to watch this game. Good afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
So, first of all, before we look ahead, you know what it's like to win a title. You know what it's like to have a title dream taken away because of COVID. What was it like to win one a couple of years ago? It's been 4 years, I guess.
Yeah, it was amazing. As a freshman, I came in just wanting to win one national championship. I didn't know it was going to be my freshman year. And when we got to that place, it was just like I was lost for words because it was like you're so used to watching it, and I'm so used to filling out my own brackets with my family that when I was actually in it, it was just mesmerizing. But it was amazing, honestly.
Describe to the audience being in that arena, you know, that Friday night upset that you Mississippi State was part of that. You won your game a little bit more easily than State had, but you were part of that atmosphere, and you know we'll be watching it shortly. But what's it like to feel it? Does it feel different, or how much different does it feel than a regular game?
It's much different, just because of the atmosphere, the height of the game, just knowing that everybody's watching. Like, I'm pretty sure there was a lot of views that year. So just knowing that everybody's watching and just knowing that it's one and done, I think that makes everything have more pressure. But it was amazing just watching the UConn and Mississippi State game. I think we were there for the first half, and then we had to leave to go to the hotel. So I watched it at the hotel after that, and the shot was crazy. I can only imagine how it was if I was in the arena.
Yeah, that was somewhat unfair for them, although I'm sure you're not concerned. they pull off one of the greatest upsets in college basketball history. Then they have to turn around 2 days later and play you in the championship game. Last year, everything was going your way. The Gamecocks were just unbelievable. And it's old news now, and nobody wants to relive COVID. But what was it like to see your opportunity taken away?
My heart was broken, honestly. I thought we was playing our best basketball in the SEC, and we were getting ready to go to the NCAA tournament. We actually had like a 4-day break before then because we had spring break, and I only brought like a week's worth of clothes home, and I was just ready to get back, and it was like the day before I had to fly back to South Carolina is when everything started to happen, and they decided to cancel the tournament. And when I first heard about it, I was just really sad and heartbroken about it because I just didn't feel like I got that closure with my teammates, with the team staff, and just saying goodbye to our fans because we actually were supposed to play in Colonial Life Arena for the first round.
Ty, you won an important award which has your coach's name on it. We all know your relationship with Dawn Staley. She's impossible not to love from my biased perspective, and I know you'll agree, but tell us what it's like to play for her over those 4 years.
Yeah, actually, well, Dawn could actually attest to this because she always used to say that me and her used to butt heads maybe around my sophomore, junior head, and we always chuck it up to because we were both Tauruses. We both just... stubborn. we don't like to chase after each other, so we used to butt heads a lot. But I mean, I picked South Carolina because she was so real and authentic, and what you got at the visit is what you get when you get there. And I mean, just after graduating and after just kind of talking about why we're butting heads my senior year is when we grew closer. And I appreciate her for that because she was really tough just because she was a point guard. And I learned a lot from her as a point guard. Just every nugget that she said to me or anything that she yelled, I took it and made it a lesson.
As we get ready for the game against Stanford, you've got a pretty important job right now, but you know this team and you know what they're capable of. Handicapping basketball games is not easy, but what should we all as fans look for tonight?
I think it's going to be a great competitive game. I think that each team match up really well. You got bigs, you got shooters, you got quick guards. Both teams defend really well. I know Tara, just from my freshman year when we played them in the Final Four, she had the special defense, and I actually remember them sagging all the way off of me, and I told Don after that game, I was like, yo, I have to shoot. Like, I can't be looking like that on national television, so I'm interested to see what type of defense they come up with, but I think it's going to be a great competitive game, and I just hope South Carolina wins.
We all agree. Hey, thanks, Ty. I know you got a busy schedule. We appreciate you making time for us, and hopefully this time Monday, South Carolina will be celebrating a national championship, something you're very familiar with. All the best this year, and we hope to catch up again.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You bet. Great to have you on. Ty Harris joining us. And we will take a break. That game is just around the corner. We have still an hour and 20 minutes remaining here. And your phone calls are right around the corner as well.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
And we welcome you back. Great to have you here on a Friday afternoon. It is Good Friday, and Curtis is up next. Good afternoon, Curtis.
Good afternoon, sir. Glad to be on to talk to you.
Thank
First
you.
First time ever doing this.
Wonderful.
And what I have to say is about the protest for the Atlanta. People died in the 50s and the 60s so we can be where we at. So when people talk about losing money, what's more important, a person losing their life so you can be where you're at today, or money? And that's what I look at. I'm from Montgomery, Alabama, originally. And I lived on Columbus Street. And I say that because what happened on the Selma Bridge every night happened on Columbus Street. And so I had a front row seat because I lived on Columbus Street in Turner Court. So when I saw a lot. I've been chased by the Klan. I hid in Oakwood Cemetery at nighttime because the police were running after us. So when I hear black people and even Stacey Abrams talk about, oh, don't do this and don't do that, Stacey Abrams got where she at because of all that, the civil rights march, and people died. Tell people to go to Montgomery, Alabama, and look at the lynching again. And the four little girls that died from the bombing. That's all you need to know to stand up. You got to sacrifice something in order to make things right. If you don't sacrifice, you're not going to go anywhere. If you hit them in their pocket, that's when things change. And I'll give you an example. When they segregated school, they sent us to Robert E. Lee High School. And they didn't want to give us a Black History program. So we, marching is good, but boycott is better. We hit them in the pocket by boycotting the cafeteria throughout the city. And we got that Black History program within days. And so Dawn Staley of South Carolina, wonderful coach, I'm rooting for her hard tonight. She's the only one I heard say, the only way it's going to make a difference, you must boycott all levels of sports. And that's the only way it's going to make a difference. Because people die. Think about the four little girls. And being on Columbus Street every night, watching what was going on, they're on my front porch fighting. It make me sick to my stomach to hear people talk about money over death. And a lot of people die. And that's what I have to say, sir.
Curtis, thank you very much for sharing your story with us. And you be well. Nice of you to call.
Thank you, sir.
You bell. James is up next. Hello, James.
Paul, how you doing?
James, I'm well. Thank you.
I am having a tremendous spasm. But, Paul, several callers ago, I forget the guy's name, but he was trying to straighten you out on something. Apparently, I am in the dark, enlighten me. Get me up to speed as to what has everybody in such a tailspin today.
Here's what has happened today, James. The Major League Baseball decided to move its All-Star game out of Atlanta. That announcement came a couple of hours ago in response to the Georgia legislature passing a new restrictive voting rights bill.
Okay. All right. Now, can you help me understand the purpose of the restrictive voting rights bill? Does this have anything to do with possibly the so-called theft of the presidential election on this past go-around?
Well, yeah, I think what happened in Georgia is a direct reaction to the election.
So what you're saying is the historical flipping of the state has got people wondering how this flipping took place. So they're actually tightening up on some of their loopholes.
Well, James, I'm not going to deal I'm not going to go down that road with you. I am simply stating what Major League Baseball decided to do. Were they under enormous pressure? Yes, they were. But your opinion of what happened in Georgia and other people's opinions are different.
I'm with you there, but was it not a historical flipping of the state?
Yes. I mean, I believe, and not only did you see the Republicans lose Georgia for the first time in a generation or two, you saw two Republican Senate seats flip, which was probably even more important. Georgia going Democrat did not change the outcome of the election. Georgia going Democrat in the Senate could very well change the immediate future of this country.
Okay. Paul, you have any idea what the national debt is presently?
I can tell you one thing. Since the time you called and since I'm attempting to answer, I guarantee it's gone way up.
It's at least $28
trillion. Mm-hmm.
And most of what this last stimulus they signed won't even count until next year. But in 33 days, the present administration added $4 trillion. Now, Trump and Obama, they added $4 trillion a year, but not $4 trillion in a month. And when you do that math, that comes to $200 trillion, over six times. Now, when I'm saying $200 trillion in the 4 years, that's over six times what it is presently. Do you think this country can hold together with that much of a burden?
I do not.
What are we going to do?
James, I don't have an answer for the future economy of this country. I really don't.
Now, we're talking about the sovereignty of this nation, Paul. Where are you and I going to go live? Peru? Puerto Rico?
I've never been to either place, but let me know when you find a good landing spot. We'll take a break. We have a long way to go. Well, not that long. An hour to go. We hope you'll stick around. Ken Smithmeyer joins us in the next hour. And more of your phone calls.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.